Okay, Parshas Vayera. So Rabbi Bachai begins with the pasuk in Mishlei Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Tes Vav that says Be'or Pnei Melech Chayim, with the light of the face of a king is life. A ritzono, and if he likes you, he has you. If you have his ratzon, that's ka'av malkush, like a thick cloud of rain. So Rabbi Bachai explains that this refers to if you have a king likes you. Even if he's not, let's say you do something good, now the king is happy with you. Even if that doesn't mean he says, go through my treasure house and take $1 million. He's just happy with you. That's good. Life comes with that. Meaning you're more secure with your life. Something good might happen to you in the future. It's good that the king likes you. And it's bad if the king doesn't like you. Even if he doesn't actually take your head off that day, it's not good if the king doesn't like you. So, Kal v'chomer, a million times, with the Ribbono Shalom, that you want, we want Ratzon from the Ribbono Shalom. And he says, with Hashem, if Hashem has Ratzon to you, so then it results in Gilu Shechina. Like by Avram, who did the mitzvah of Mila, and because of that, it resulted in Hashem appearing to him, and a Gilu Shechina. But also, in the words, Pnei Melech Chaim, with the light of Pnei Melech Chaim, Chaim includes Refuah. And if Hashem is happy with you, and there's a Gilui Shechina and a Ratzon, so then it comes with it healing. So therefore, when Hashem appeared at the beginning of the Parsha to Avram Avinu, so it healed him from his, from his bris mila. Okay, we know what the Malachim also, but that's what he says. So then we have that Avram sees the three malachim standing there. The pasuk calls them anashim. Okay, so there's a couple things here. First of all, why did you need three malachim? Rashi tells us because you can't have one. Malachim don't do different shlichuses, so they had to have separate malachim because there was one that had to tell Sarah that she was going to have a kid, one to destroy Sodom, one to heal Avram. Like we said, that'll have to be part of when Hashem revealed himself to him. But anyway, one to heal Avram. And also to save Lot. I'm sorry, the one that that was there to tell Sarah that she was going to have a child, that was the one there that was also to heal Lot. Save Lot. So this is not like Rashi. That's why I'm getting confused. Like Rashi, Rashi says there were three angels. One was to tell Sarah that she was going to have a kid. One was to save Lot and heal Avram. And one was to destroy Sodom. Rabbi Bachai has it that one was to tell Sarah she was going to have a kid plus save Lot. One was to heal Avram and one was to destroy Sodom. Okay. But anyway, here we learn that you don't have two malachim do one shlichus, and that's why you needed three malachim, because you can't have one malach do more than one thing. That's what Rashi says. And one of them, according to both Rashi and the Rabbeinu Bachai's version, one of them did two things. So the answer to that is that, according to Rashi, the angel that saved Lot and that healed Avram was the same angel. And so the Sifsei Chacham explains, because that's all one. Saving people, whether it's through healing or through saving them from being killed, that's all in Sodom. That was all one thing called Hatzalah. So that's why it's really one Shlichus. Rabbeinu Bachai doesn't have it that way. Rabbeinu Bachai has it that the one who told Sarah she was going to have a kid is the one who saved Lot. The way he explains it is that even though Chazal tell us you can't have one malach do two shlichuses, that's only when they're opposites. Like you can't have a midas hadin and a midas harachamim in the same malach. Malach can't come to destroy Sodom and also heal someone. It doesn't work. That's when you need two shlichuses. But if you're doing similar things, it works. Therefore, according to Rabbeinu Bachai, the one who healed told Sarah she was going to get have a kid is the one who saved Lot, because that's both Rachamim or Chesed or whatever. Then the one that destroyed Sodom is Midas Hadin. And then, really, the way he explained it now, that one Malach number one, who told Sarah the good news, plus saved Lot, he should have been able to heal Avram, because that's all good. That's true. However, Raphael is the one in charge of healing, and you can't have Malachim step on each other's toes. And that's why he calls it Oser Shalom B'Romov. So that's also part of it. If one Malach has a specific job, then he's always going to be the one to do that. Okay. Next. So then he says, Vayomer, and then the letter is Aleph Dalav, then Nun Yud. So Rashi brings a machlokas, whether, or two different pshatim, whether that is, he was talking to Hashem, because he recognized that, was he talking to Hashem and he was telling Hashem to wait? He'd be right back. Or was he talking to the angels and just calling them masters? However, Rabbeinu Bechai, that's what I was trying to say before, there's a couple of things on this whole story. Rabbeinu Bechai says it a couple of times, that Avram recognized that these were Malachim, even though it's, you know, why would he be feeding them food if he recognized they were Malachim? That's a different question. But Avram recognized that they were Malachim, and when he said Vayomer and Aleph Dalad Nun and then Nun Yud, so he was calling one of them Hashem, because sometimes the Malachim could be called with the name of their master. So that's what he meant. He was talking directly to the Malach and saying Hashem, and that they should stick around. But that he recognized that they were Malachim. That the that he says that Avram was able to recognize they were Malachim. And he says later that you and I probably can't see, I don't know who's listening to this, but regular people can't see Malachim. In other words, here it says that Avram saw Anashim, right? Men. Okay. Well, would you and I have seen it? So Rabbeinu Bechai says no. Yes, they looked like men. In other words, angels in their classic angel state cannot be seen, period. They're angels. Just like you can't see your neshama, you can't see an angel. However, the angels can put on a malbush when they have to do something on this earth so that they can be seen by the physical eye, but not just any physical eye. By the Zache HaNefesh. So that's what he describes, that your eye, your physical eye cannot see a malach in its malach status, no matter who you are. Even Moshe Rabbeinu can't see a malach in the, or Avraham Avinu. They didn't see a malach, at least when it's, period. You're not going to see a malach with your physical eye when he's in his malach, full malach stance. Whatever the pasuk calls a malach, an ish, so then that means that the malach is in incognito. He put on a malbush, so to speak, such that Zache HaNefesh can see the malach. You know, Zache, if you have a super pure soul and a purified eye, your eye can actually see it. It's not something not seeable. Your eye could see it, but you have to have a highly purified eye. Almost seems like, if you imagine Adam Rishon Kodem Achet, or after Tchias HaMeisim, will have completely purified bodies, which will be physically different. So it sounds like that, I don't know if it has to be to that level, but if you have a purified eye, then when a malach is in his malbush, then your eyes can see it. But if not, then, in other words, you and I would not be able to see it. Only a tzaddik would be able to see it, but while in their malbush, they are seeable. Okay. So, anyway, the way he knows it's Kodesh, or the ones who hold it's Kodesh, is because he says there's a kamatz under the nun. And whenever there's a kamatz under the nun, that means, it means Hashem. And Agav, this, he gets into discussion of all the nekudos. There are seven nekudos. There's the kamatz, patach, tzere, segel, cholam, shuruk, chirik. And those are the Shiva Kolos that the Torah was given with. What's interesting here is just, if you're Sephardi or Ashkenazi, listen to this. He says, even though the Kametz and the Patach sound the same. Okay. So you know how he pronounced them. It sounds like he was the Sephardic pronunciation of today. Who knows what, when you go back that far, how they pronounce things. Okay, now you know. So Rabbeinu Bechai says that the Kametz and the Patach are basically the same, except that the Kametz is a little bit, he says it's Tenuas HaKametz Gevoa Ve'Elyona, as opposed to the Patach, but they're basically the same. I don't think anybody would say the way Ashkenazim pronounce the Patach and the Kametz are the same, in any way, shape, or form. So probably he pronounced it the other way. I mean, which makes sense, but just to say, you see here that it's in writing. That's how they pronounced it. Okay, then it says, I forgot one other thing. Besides that, this is a more thing probably you never heard of, and that is besides the kamatz being the chashav one and the kamatz in indicating if it's in the name of Hashem that refers to Hashem himself, there's also the fact that kamatz is only used by emes and patach by sheker. You got that? I guess if it could go either way, you're going to use a kamatz by emes and a patach by sheker. For example, in Shmuel Beis, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud, it talks about how Shaul had committed suicide, and this person comes and says, well, he wasn't this Gera Maliki, he says, or the son of a Gera Maliki, he says that I killed Shaul. He had been mortally wounded, but he asked me to kill him, and I chopped his head off. Look, I killed him, whatever, here's his crown and his tefillin. So David tore Kriya and said, why'd you do that? And killed him. But the words are Chazal to us, some of the Mefarshim say that this Amaleki was full of baloney, or the son of the Gera Maliki was not telling the truth. He had not killed Shaul. He had just said it because he was trying to impress David, because he thought that Mestama David hated Shaul's guts. And therefore, he would be really thrilled to hear that this guy killed him, but it was all a lie. Okay, so guess what the pasuk says? It says, va'amo delava, or I should say, va, if you're Ashkenazic, va'amo delav, va'vav with a kamatz, I stood on him, va'amisehu with a patach. So the word va'amisehu, the vav there is with a patach, but the va'amo is with a kamatz. Because it was true that he stood over him, that part was true, that gets a kamatz. Va'amisehu was a lie, that's why that got a patach. Whoa. Okay. This is seriously deep, dark secret. Nobody knows. That's it, right? At least I didn't know it. This is from the Chachma of our Torah, and it works this way. Okay, next we have, it says, sit down, Malachim, esadu libchem. And it doesn't say levavchem, it says libchem. So, like Rashi says, libchem, because Malachim don't have a Yetzer Hara, they only have one heart, therefore it says Libchem and not Levavchem. When we're talking about humans, it says Levavchem. So Rabbeinu Bachai here just points out, well, what about the Pasuk in that we say in the Shir Shal Yom? It says Shisu Libchem Lechela. Shisu Libchem Lechela. And there it says Libchem, not Levavchem. So he explains that that's why Chazal tell us, by the way, Shisu Libchem Lechela means Pashup Shad, it means listen, your heart should listen or pay attention to its walls. Okay, but anyway, Chazal make a drasha on it. At Shisu Libchem Lechela, it's referring to Lasad Lavo, when Mashiach comes. And put your hearts to the Lechela refers to the dancing that will be, the circle that Hashem will make for the Tzadikim. And in those times, there will be no Yitzhara, and that's why it says Libchem. Okay. All right. Next. So it says Avram was supposed to feed them bread, right? And then he said, Lushi Vasui goes. And then all of a sudden, he didn't bring them the bread. And Chazal tells us, Rashi brings, because Sarah was Pirsanida, and therefore the bread became Tamay, so he didn't want to feed it to the Malachim. Okay, so this is again. If Avram knew they were Malachim, why was he feeding them at all? And what, you know, but I guess why he wouldn't want to feed them tummy bread would make more sense. But in the Pashup Shat, why in the world would Avram Avinu care if the bread became tummy? There were tzaddikim always who ate chulei and betara. That's true. Who always, even regular food, they'd make sure was tummy. But certainly if you assume that he did not know who these people were, why in the world would he care? It became tummy. So what? So you be machmir. What's it got to do with your guests? Why don't you want to feed your guests stuff like that? So the answer Rabbeinu Bachai gives is that it's not because it was Tamei, and that was the problem in and of itself. The problem was it was Pesach. So, she was, those Ugos were Ugos Matzos. Like he says, you'll find by Lot it says it was Ugos Matzos. So that same thing here, the Ugos refer to Ugos Matzos. So Sarah was making Matzos for Pesach. And we know as long as you're working on it, you're working with it, it doesn't become chametz. You stop working on it, it does become chametz. Okay, so it says when Sarah realized she was pierced and needed, she stopped working on it. Oh, well, now it became chametz. That's a problem. So therefore, that's why he couldn't feed it to the Archim, because since Sarah stopped working on it, so therefore, when she was Pirsanita, so that's why it couldn't be used for Pesach, and therefore the Malachim, the guests. I imagine what you'd have to say is that when Sarah was Pirsanita, she was used to stopping, because anyway, Avraham would have eaten it, and therefore that's why it became chametz. Okay. So we know that an Adam is called, or the Rebbeinu Bachai says anyway, that Adam is referred to, Adam refers to their soul, and not their guf. The guf is a levush to the soul, and the person themselves is called the neshama, as the pasuk says, or rubasar talbisheni. Okay, we know, I think there's the Tanya, I think, brings that there are other indications in Chazal. Otherwise, like we say, Elokai neshama shenasata bi, the neshama is put into me, so who am I? Anyway, that's what he says. This person is called based on their neshama, and the guf is a levush, and that's why he says that these were called, like we explained before, they called themselves anashim, because for them it was a levush for them. Malachim, they are called malachim al shem being malachim. When they're wearing a levush, they're called of a person. They're called anashim. Okay. Avram said, "Anochi offer ve'efer." In this week's parsha, and because of that, he was zocha to, Chazal tell us in the Gemara and Sota, that he was zocha to the Afer Sota and the Efer Para. And Rebbeinu Bachai adds, I don't know if this, I believe this is his own, but I could be wrong, that we say Aben Yakirli Ephraim, Klal Yisrael is called Ephraim. Rebbeinu Bachai says Ephraim means two Efers. Two Ephraim means two Ephers, like double Epher, Ephraim. And he says it refers to the two Ephers, like the Epher of Avram and the Epher of Yitzchak. Okay, the Epher of Yitzchak is clear. That means, even though Yitzchak wasn't actually Shechten, it means it's viewed as if it's Epher. I assume the Epher of Avram is the Epher he said here, Anochi Afer Va'Epher. Okay. And that was also because Avram could have been Epher through when he was thrown in the fire. Okay, next we have I guess we'll just mention the Mashchisim Anachnu. The angel said, we're here to destroy Sodom. Hashem was not happy that they said Mashchisim Anachnu. They should have said Hashem's coming to be Mashchas. I mean, we're as if they have the power. And they were punished because of that. And he brings all throughout Tanakh. If somebody said something like by Moshe, he said, any big question you come ask me, and therefore you had to forget something. So anytime a person is told a kvod Hashem ba'atzmo, so then Hashem, they get punished. So he says, Rabbeinu Bachai says, from here all these you learn that a person should never be told a kvod of Hashem in themselves. Because the whole world is created for kvod Shemayim, and therefore it's not really to put it on anyone else. Okay, just wanted to mention that. Benos Lot. So they thought after Sodom, they thought, Chazal tell us that they thought the world was destroyed. So they were in Mechavin L'Shem Shamayim when they were with their father and they each had a kid, one had Amon, one had Moav from their father. So even though, the Torah doesn't seem to be too happy about it, and, there are Chazals that were, said, you know, one was a Prutza that she called her son Moav, and all that. So it doesn't sound great. But either way, they were Mechavin L'Shem Shemayim. That's Chazal tell us, because they thought the world was destroyed. And, that's why they were Zocha to have Rus come out of Moav, which led to David. And out of Ammon came Rechavam, Shlomo's son, because Rechavam's mother was from Ammon. And so you see that they were zocha to Malchus based David, both of them. So that's because they were Mechavin L'Shem Shamayim. And there's a famous story, I'll just throw this in here because it's a great story, at the beginning of Vigras Moshe, the new Chelek Ches, I think, that says that someone was saying how the Benos Moav were, Benos Lot, excuse me, were terrible, like this thing, and Chazal sounded like it was saying that they were bad, because it says that there's a chazal that Moav was punished more because she mentioned that it came from her father. It's really nothing to do with Rabbeinu Chaim, just mentioning it. So they were, that sounded bad. So he was darshaning publicly that it was terrible that she called her son Moav. And anyway, he got very sick and his tongue started, something terrible happened to his tongue. And he had a dream that the Bnos Lot came to him and she said, "You know why I called him Moav? That was also L'shem Shammai, because I thought there was nobody else in the world but us. And therefore, I wanted to make sure everyone knew there was no kind of, you know, if it's just, they would assume, well, certainly the daughter wouldn't be with her father. So it must be that there's some kind of immaculate conception or something like that." So she wanted to make everyone know. She called him Moav, so everyone knows, nope, that's where he came from. Moav came from my dad. That was her kavana. Okay, still Chazal sound like they weren't happy about it, but just mentioning that story. Then we have the story of Avimelech. So here another big question. Why in the world, after what happened with Paro, would Avram tell Sarah again, "Oh, tell him, you know, we'll say you're my sister"? Really? You were so michalanes? So Rabbeinu Bechai says something fascinating. He says that he brings, it's from the Rach, Rabbeinu Chananel, that he divorced her, for real. It was no longer his wife. And in fact, it sounds like by saying Achoso was his way of divorcing her. Because this is quoted Matan Torah, he says, and according to Rabbeinu Chananel, it sounds like they had a din of a Ben Noach, and therefore there was no formal divorce needed. They just had to say, "You're divorced," or decide that they're separated. Right? For a Ben Noach, you know, there's no formal getting and kedushin. There's marriage, there's the institution of marriage, and then there's the institution of divorce, but doesn't need any paperwork, and doesn't, a man could divorce a woman could divorce a man. So it's only in our Torah, if you're, for Yidden, that we have this, it has to be, Gittin and Kedushin with official, right? But for Ben Noach, not, and therefore he divorced her just by saying, "She's my sister," so they were really divorced. However, not 100% divorced. Because Hashem came to Avimelech and said, "Hey, he Be'ula's Baal." So that sounds like they were married. Well, that's because it wasn't a real divorce. He was only doing it because he was scared, and that's not a full divorce. Even, sounds like, for Avram Avinu. However, in Avimelech's court of law, forced divorce is a divorce, and that's why he said, "Agoy kam tzadik taharog," because in our laws, that is a full divorce, so I did nothing wrong. Another pshat he gives in Agoy kam tzadik taharog is, that he was telling Hashem, "Hagoy gam tzadik tarog," that if they killed the guy, gam tzadik tarog. Meaning if Avimelech dies and it's for that, so then everyone's going to gang up and kill Avram out of anger. So don't kill me, because if you kill the guy, gam tzadik tarog. It's an interesting shot. Okay. Almost done here. Interesting thing about, it says right after the story of Avimelech that Sarah got pregnant. Say he brings a chazal that says, just like by a sota, right? So when it's found out that if she's promised a sota lady, then if she's innocent, she will have kids then. So here it was like a kol shekein. She was, you know, she was in a bad situation. Obviously, nothing happened. And, she was taken against her will, all that. But it was almost like a kal v'chomer, and therefore she had a kid. Okay. Then we have, now this is unique. I don't think you'll find this anywhere. Everybody knows Avram had a tent for Hachnasas Orchim that had a door on each side, four doors to his tent. Now, the way I've always been told, and I'm sure you too, the way you'll always read it everywhere, is because of Hachnasas Orchim, so he could see people coming from every direction. Rabbeinu Bechai says, wrong. It was so that the Orchim who came in one entrance could go out a different entrance and nobody would notice, and they shouldn't be embarrassed.
Whoa.
Okay. I don't think that's anywhere else, so maybe it is, what do I know? But I've never heard that before, and I don't think it's elsewhere. Okay, just one line about the Akedah. Rabbeinu Bechai says the purpose of the Akedah was to show everyone up to the level of Ahava and Yira you have to have to Hashem. He has a long description of how hard this must have been. It was a kid he had after 100 years, after he had given up hope of having any children, that he finally had a kid. All the and he wasn't 2 years old, he was 40 years old, you know, all the difficulty it must have been to do it, and how how quickly Avram ran to do it, and he did it over 3 days, so it didn't do it too fast. And he didn't bring a whole lot of people with him, and even the two people he brought with him, he sent them to stay at the bottom of the mountain when he saw they were on a super high level, because he didn't want them to stop him from doing the Akedah. So it's to show, the point of the Akedah was to show the world how far you have to go in your Avas Hashem and your Yiras Hashem. And just one last thing, it says that the shofar of Yitzchak, meaning after Hashem said don't kill Yitzchak, they took a different, an aisle was coming by, they took the aisle as for a carbon. And that's, we remember on Rosh Hashanah we blow shofar, and it's a remnant to the shofar of Yitzchak, meaning that shofar from that calf. And the shofar of Talmud Torah was, the shofar of giving of the Torah, when there was the blowing the shofar and the Torah was given, that's also the shofar from the Isle of Yitzchak. And the shofar when Mashiach comes is the other horn. Just Rabbi Bachai here says, also the Ramban elsewhere says, it doesn't mean physically, because the animal was, it's an ola, so it was completely burnt up. But it means it's being miramis to the, he says, Rabbi Bachai here says, the koach of Efer Shel Shor, which is Midas Adin, but it's the idea of that. Okay, then we'll stop here.